Ukraine. We're going to talk about Ukraine today. We're going to talk about war in Europe. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. I was talking to dearly beloved today. And she said to me, hey, you know, maybe I should be paying more attention to this war in Ukraine, but I've just been too busy. And I said, hey, I hear you, man. I hear you. I said, I've talked about Ukraine, my podcast once or twice, just very superficially. And my take is, hey, there's a war in Europe, you know, which is a big deal. There's a war in Europe. But it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. We all need to carry on with our lives, keep doing what we're going to do. And you don't know what the future holds. For 2,000 years, people have been absolutely convinced that Jesus Christ is coming back tomorrow. For 2,000 years. And it's right in black and white in the Bible. These are the last days. Been the last days for 2,000 years. If there was ever a time for the second coming to happen, it was probably in 1,000 AD. Imagine that. It's the year 9,000, or it's year 999. People are terrified. It's the 1,000-year reign of Christ is over, and he's returning. And here we are. It's 2022, and we're still going on. Good things happen in the world. Bad things happen in the world. The world keeps turning. All right? Live your life as if this is going to – if you're going to be here, and your great-great-great-great-grandchildren are going to be here. People, they sit down here and they look up in heaven and say, when are you going to do something, God? God's up in heaven looking down at us saying, I'm waiting on y'all. And what's he waiting on? How about Matthew 28, 18 through 20? Disciple of nations, man. Disciple of nations. Bring nations into obedience to Jesus Christ. Now, bad things could happen in Ukraine. It could spin out of control. That wouldn't surprise me. World War I started off kind of slow. Well, we're just going to mobilize our troops. World War II started slow. It started almost 3 years before the United States got involved. And Japan bombs Pearl Harbor. And then immediately Italy and Germany declare war on the United States before the United States even declared war on them. So you don't know how things are going to go. I live not far from Cheyenne Mountain. I can see it from my house, and sometimes I wonder, what am I doing living here? But you know, you live where you live. You live where you live, and it's okay. What's the worst that can happen? Turns out, it ain't all that bad. You got to carry on with life. You can't get all worked up about, it's the end of the world, and oh my God, something bad's going to happen. I got news for you. Something bad always happens. But carry on as if it's a generations long project. The church has gone to sleep, and it said to itself, the Antichrist is taking over, and the devil has all the power in the world, and all we got to do is sit here and wait for God to come back. My response to that is, you gave up before you even started. You've given up before you even started. Jesus Christ led this way. He said, all power on heaven and earth has been, past tense, has been already given to me, Jesus Christ said, when he commissioned us to make disciples of the nations. And we've so reduced his mandate, we've so reduced his command. And now we like, well, let's go out there and let's get, you know, let's convert a soul or two and be really, really happy. And I'm really happy for the soul or two because, you know, I'm one of the souls. But the mandate is for nations to be converted, nations to serve Jesus Christ, nations to serve the monarch. And this little thing in Ukraine, in the history of the world, ain't that big of a deal. Now, can it spit out of control? Sure. But what's the worst that can happen? Nuclear war? I've said before, nuclear war is not the end of the world. We had nuclear war in 1945. It was neither the end of Hiroshima or Nagasaki or Japan or the world as we know it. In the Black Death, what is it, 1300s? I got to pull out one of my history books. One third of Europe goes away. You had entire regions and provinces depopulated, cities that simply ceased to exist because of the Black Death. It happened fairly quickly, too. Was that the end of Europe? Was that the end of Christendom? No, it was not. Take the worst thing that you can possibly do, and it's not going to be the end of the world. It's not going to be the end of the world. And the other thing I got to say about all this is, I did watch today on the news, apparently the president of the Ukraine made an appearance before the U.S. Congress, and he did the same with the Canadian Parliament, and he's calling for a no-fly zone. And I can only imagine that the reason he was there is because there's people that are very happy to have him make that pitch. So we'll see what happens. I don't know what's going to happen. What side am I on? I'm on America. I'm on the side of the United States of America. I'm not on Russia's side, not on Ukraine's side. I'm on my own country's side. So who knows? I think there's certainly a lot of potential for, as they call it, strategic miscalculation. But I'd also like to say, to the Christians out there, don't be so defeatist. Don't get so worried about, it's the end of the world as we know it. It's not the end of the world. Well, it might be the end of the world as we know it. I mean, the Black Death did happen. It was kind of the end of the world as they knew it for them at that time. But the mission goes on. The commission goes on. The Great Commission goes on. Preach the gospel. Convert nations. This big bad beast that you see out there that rules the world with its universal antichrist laws and quote-unquote human rights, with all the great power of militaries and United Nations and finance and banking, it's all fraud. It's all big fat fraud. It's not as powerful as it thinks it is, and it's only as power as you give it credit for being. At the end of the day, they're weak and they're terrified. And, yeah, they can do some bad things. But so what? Why are you worried about the bad things that they can do to you or to us or to whoever? That didn't change the commission. Didn't change the Great Commission to convert the nations. Literally to convert the nations to serve Jesus Christ. The fact is, the truth is, Jesus Christ is, he's the king of all the kings now, and he has all power now. Sometimes people just get set up for the big takedown. Don't be surprised if that's the case now. Get all set up for the big takedown, and I want us to be ready as a church to rebuild our nations as Christian nations, as explicitly Christian nations where Jesus Christ is the declared monarch of our nation. Whether that nation is Canada or New Zealand or Zimbabwe or whatever, it doesn't matter what nation it is. Or new nations out of them. We just saw the creation of two new nations in eastern Ukraine. Well, depends on who's in charge of the interpretation. But ostensibly, there's a couple new nations there. We saw Sudan was divided into South Sudan, I believe. We've seen this all over the world many, many different times. Go back and go to YouTube and look at maps across time. Should probably get a link to that. And watch North America, watch Europe, and watch how the landscape changes over time as far as who owns what territory. Am I advocating for that? No. Not necessarily. What I'm doing is I'm observing that. I'm simply an observer. Things change. Now, some people have found themselves in less than ideal circumstances due to the ongoing activities, whether it's the COVID experience or, the Canadian truckers with their bank accounts frozen. Or, that God bless that pastor in Alberta. There's a pastor in Alberta, Canada, and he keeps getting arrested because he refuses to shut down his church over COVID. My only question there is, how come he's the only one getting arrested? How come there's not 10,000 pastors getting arrested? Why just him? So God bless him. And let's, he's a good takeoff. I forget his name. It's pastor, whatever. Imagine if he said to himself, you know what? All I got to do is just weather the storm and everything will be fine. Keep my head down a little bit. We'll just comply. We'll do the Romans 13 thing and we'll obey earthly authorities. I will just comply and we'll get by. Well, what if that's not what God called him to do? What if God called him to preach the gospel? What if God called him to recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord and not some earthly authority that thinks they have the authority, the illegitimate authority, to shut down the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, there's some Christians out there, Judeo-Christians, and they'll justify anything the government will do. Well, it's for our safety. They're the legitimate authority, and on and on and on. Look, man, when are people going to default to the side of Jesus Christ and Christian liberty? When's that going to happen? You can always make excuses as to why you're under somebody's thumb and why you're a submissive slave and how you can justify totalitarianism. Oh, it's not really totalitarianism. It's just for our own good and our own safety. I've studied Marxist government. I got a PhD in that stuff. I don't care if it's the USSR, Cuba under Castro, China under Mao, Pol Pot. That list goes on and on and on and on. It's for your own good, they say. It's for your own good. Submit, be silent, and obey. Well, you can't see this because, you know, what you're saying is evil. It's racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic, Islamophobic. You're not permitted to say those things. When will the church default to defending what Jesus Christ said and the apostles did? That's my question. When will the church stop making excuses for antichrist governments and start defaulting and hanging out on the side of what the Word of God says and what Jesus Christ did and what the apostles did? Why do you default to the protection of an antichrist government? Why do you do that? Oh, you can't say that. God appointed all the leaders for us. Fine. I guess Jesus Christ wasn't a very good Christian then, was he? Because he certainly defied the earthly leaders. He defied Pontius Pilate. He defied the Sanhedrin. He defied the leaders of the Jews. Defied them. Said, I'm not going to abide by you. I'm not going to do what you say. You tell me I can't heal somebody the Sabbath? Watch this. Hold my beer. Watch this. And guess who defaults to acting like Jesus acted? Well, it was the apostles. Go look at Peter. Go look at Paul. Well, Stephen, why did you just have to get after the Jews like that? Why did you just have to rail against the Jews in Acts chapter 7? Don't you know you could have just toned it down a little bit? When's the church going to default to doing what Stephen did? When's the church going to default to doing what Peter did and Paul did and what Jesus Christ did? How about what Moses did? How about David? How about Jeremiah? How about the prophets? Jeremiah, you know what he was accused of? Oh, you're just mimicking Putin's talking points. You're mimicking the Russian talking points. That's what he was accused of. Back then it wasn't Russia, it was the Babylonians. Oh, you're just you know, you using your influence to undermine our government and our freedoms, and you're mimicking what the Babylonians say. And they tried to kill him. They threw him in a pit. I've talked to you about this before. And about the great hero, the Ethiopian eunuch, who at the risk of his life went to the king and said, let me help him. The king said, okay, go help him. At the risk of his life, with absolutely no upside to what he was doing. None. He just said, look, this ain't right. And he had his own integrity. And he said, what they're doing is not right. And he went and he helped Jeremiah. And I had a podcast on this not long ago called, I think it's called Africans. You can see that at bloodandfaith.com. And fast forward 600 years from the time of Jeremiah. And you got Philip the evangelist doing his evangelism stuff. Angel of the Lord stops him and says, stop what you're doing. I know you got a great revival going on here. I don't care. God doesn't care. Stop what you're doing. Get away from all these people. Go down here. You're going to find another Ethiopian eunuch, and you're going to preach the gospel to him. Talk about God's faithfulness. One man can change a society. One man can change a culture. One man can change a civilization. So, and Philip did, and the Ethiopian eunuch is converted in Acts chapter 9. Don't have it in front of me. So as you're making decisions, and by all means, make your decisions. We're all making decisions, and I've said this for a couple of years now. The Almighty, by his grace, is putting his church in a position where we have to make choices. We're in a pressure cooker, and we're being squeezed, and people are going to fall out on one side, and people are going to fall out on another side. And I've watched it happen with my own eyes. My wife has watched it happen with her own eyes. And people are sometimes are going to the right, they're going to the left, they're going to one side, they're going to the other. And that's okay. Make your choice, baby. Make your choice. And I've made some choices. I've made some interesting choices. And there's people that have criticized me for it. And that's fine. That's fine. But you want to know something? Let me give you a little example. So here's ancient Israel, whatever, 2,500 years ago, 3,000 years ago. And they're in deep trouble. They've been doing the wrong thing. And at some point, one of the kings of Israel said, well, we're going to have, you know, Egypt will help us. And the prophet warns them. He said, don't rely on Egypt, man. That's a broken staff. It's going to pierce right through your hand. It's going to go right through your hand. And there's Christians out there right now who are thinking, you know what, if I keep my head down, keep my mouth shut, I'll weather the storm, come out the other end with my retirement or, you know, keep my job. And I get the same message for you. I got the same message, man. Don't rely upon that untrustworthy staff of Egypt. It's going to break and it's going to go right through your hand. Don't do it. Don't do it. Imagine the man who says, you know what, I'm just going to hunker down and get along and go along. You know, and then when we get to the other side, well, then I can do great things for whoever. Maybe I can do something then. Reminds me of the guy, the rich man. He had all this stuff, and he said, I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build bigger barns and take my leisure, and I'll eat and drink and, you know, go on a missions trip, do whatever I want, buy myself a, you know, another little condo in Vail or Aspen or whatever it is. And the Almighty says, look, man, you fool, you fool, you fool. Don't you know that your very life will be required of you tonight? For all those Christians out there, you wondering what to do? Listen, let me give you a little hint. This is free. I won't even charge you for it. Default to loyalty. And default to opening your mouth. Default to loyalty to Jesus Christ. Not to this vague concept of, you know, God. And default to opening your mouth and declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord. And there's you know, tons of ways to do it. But you know you're doing it right when you're offending the Antichrists. You know you're doing it right when you're offending the Antichrist. Because remember, the one thing they could not stand, they said, teach no more in the name of this man. Don't teach any more in his name. You're going to bring his blood down upon us. So they doubled down their efforts. Oh, you don't like that? We're going to preach Jesus Christ even more. We live talked about prophets. Talked about prophets many times on this show. I said, God sends prophets. He always sends prophets. They may not be the prophet that you think of as a prophet. You may not even recognize him as a prophet. Nobody recognized Jeremiah as a prophet. I'll give you another prophet right now. The movie The Matrix. The first one. The others, they got worse and worse, so they went on. But the first movie, The Matrix, remember you saw that? And everybody's just eyes start bugging out like, oh, my God. Hey, what if we're in the Matrix? You want the blue pill or you want the red pill, baby? You want the blue pill or you want the red pill? A lot of people say, you know what, I want the blue pill. I just want to go back to sleep, like things the way we are, live my little dream world. Or you want to take the red pill. And where you wake up, you see what reality is. And the reality is there's a beast that rules the world. There's the Antichrist already fills the world in his spirit. There's the whore that rides the beast. And there's a false prophet telling us what is true and what is false, and it's all utterly false. The university professors, false prophets, telling us to obey the beast. False scientists, they say, oh, it's science. They're liars. They've been liars from the beginning. I got news for you. All this stuff that you see in the world that looks so big and looks so powerful, whether it's this rule of law or the United Nations or the International Monetary Fund or banking or fine, it's all a sham. It's a millimeter thick. It looks big, it looks broad, looks scary, but it's all a sham. It's all a sham. And the Almighty is waiting for his church to wake up and roar and say, hey, it's all a sham. Okay, the fact of the matter is, the absolute big fact is Jesus Christ is literally Lord. He's the King of Kings. He's the ruler of the nations. He's the creator of everything that was created. He created the earth. Evolution is a lie. That's the big lie. That's the big lie. Who was it that said that the bigger the lie, the more people believe it, you just keep repeating it? That's all evolution is. It's a big lie. They've never proven it because they cannot prove that entropy works in reverse. And they show you all these different things. None of it are proof of increasing complexity and design over time by chance. It doesn't exist. It's the big fat lie. Now, when you say these things, people might, if all they've heard their whole lives is the lie, they don't know what to do when they come across the truth. Many people hate the truth because there's consequences. Truth has consequences. Satan hates the truth. The lie that he's weaving is that we exist independent of a creator, and we have no accountability to him. That's the lie. That's the lie that he's offered to mankind. Also, another big lie is there is no such thing as Satan or the devil. That's a big fat lie. So I think we got an opportunity here. I'm not convinced at all of the strength and power of this Borg. The Borg apostate, I'd named it in one of my podcasts or writings, the Borg apostate. Remember the Borg from Star Trek? It's taken over. Resistance is futile. No, wrong. Resistance is what we're called to do. We're called to resist that Borg. We're called to resist the return to Babel. The Almighty showed up at Babel and boom, snap of his fingers, he drove them all away. Drove them all away. You don't think the Almighty can't do that right now with this Borg apostate, this giant beast that ravages the earth, that's insatiable in its lust for power, that has some false persona, false corporate persona riding her back, directing the beast, with the false prophets out there getting everybody to worship the beast? But he's still coming. What if it's already here? And you just haven't recognized, you just haven't seen it. And look, all the power that this beast thinks it has and the prophet thinks it has, false wife thinks it has, they ain't got no power compared to Jesus Christ. Don't try to weather the storm and keep your head down. Now's the time to open up your mouth and do what you're supposed to do. What's the worst that can happen to you? Stephen? Okay, fine, they Stephen you. And? Do you not believe in eternal life? Do you not believe in eternal life? Or do you live your life as if there is no eternal life and it's just whatever you can get out of this life? Atheist, Christian, I don't care what you are. If you believe that this life is all there is, well, then eat and drink and tomorrow you die. If you're a Christian, you call to be yourself to be a Christian and you live that way? Man, I don't know. I don't understand that. I don't understand that at all. What if you defaulted to doing the big thing, the bold thing, and opened up your mouth and preached Jesus Christ? And I'm not talking, look, don't limit this to, you know, hey, there's Sam down the street. He needs Jesus. No, 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 no. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not what I'm talking about. How about building Christian nations? How about getting the Ten Commandments back up onto the walls of your schoolhouse, your public schools? How about telling the Supreme Court to pound sand? And as the nations, as the kingdoms of this world fall to Jesus Christ, you're there ready and your children are ready to build Christian nations. We want God to do all the work. And he's saying, I'm not doing all the work. What do you think the scriptures say? Go read the book of Daniel. Go read the book of Daniel. Go read Daniel 3. Go read Daniel 7. Go read the last few chapters of the Revelation, but especially Daniel chapter 7. The kingdoms of the world are turned over to the saints of the Most High. You think you're going to get out of the work? No. Kingdoms of the world will be turned over to the saints of the Most High. And you're sitting there sitting on our bums waiting for him to come and do all the work. No, Nope. Go back and read the history of Israel and read how when they went into the promised land, God left enough of the enemy there to teach each generation how to fight. If we got anything that's in the church today, it's a church that doesn't want to fight. Well, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty, and so we're going to sit around and pray. You'll pray and you'll make excuses, and you'll make excuses about why you can't do anything. I'm preaching to myself, like I always do. I'm always preaching to myself. I'm not any better than the next guy out there. Oh, the devil's so powerful. No, he's not. Jesus Christ has all authority now in heaven and on earth. Look it up, Matthew 28:18. Does that offend the secular authorities? I hope it does. That's fine. Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what this means. Not Lord of the space between your ears and above your mouth and below your skull cap. No, he's Lord of every nation. He's the truth. You want truth? You want reality? Jesus Christ. How do you find out about that reality? Read the Word. Read the Holy Scriptures. Genesis through the Revelation. Now's the time to double down on this. I don't care what the risk is to yourself. This is a glorious time. This is a wonderful time. Time to double down. Open up your mouth. Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com.